It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The price of one Bitcoin is trading at about $118,000 at the moment, and demand for the digital currency continues to climb. Bitcoin ATMs allow people to buy the digital currency using cash or a debit card. According to one Bitcoin ATM map, there are about 580 of these ATM kiosks in Wisconsin to make crypto transactions. But scams related to Bitcoin ATMs are also on the rise. Wisconsin's Department of Financial Institutions is putting in place new guidelines set to take effect this month for Bitcoin ATM operators. To learn more, we have Paul Nyland, an associate professor of taxation in the Department of Accounting at UW-Whitewater. He's also the faculty director of its Blockchain and Cryptocurrency Institute. And Preston Cherry is here, an assistant professor of finance and personal financial planning at UW-Green Bay, where he directs the Charles Schwab Center for Personal Financial Planning. Paul and Preston, welcome to you both.
All right. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Paul, let's start with you. Before we get into the scams and the regulations, how do these Bitcoin ATMs work?
Yeah, so these are...
I'm sorry. We just lost you there for a moment. Your internet cut out. Start again, please.
Oh, can you hear me now?
We can, yes.
Great, yeah. So, yeah, by my count, there's something like probably 40,000 of these ATMs all over the country. And yeah, they take physical cash, and you have to plug in your own public Bitcoin address, which is not a problem, and that convert that money into Bitcoin. So in theory, there's nothing really wrong with Bitcoin ATMs. You know, it's the scams that affect kind of every industry, like, you know, medical scams or insurance scams. Similar people, you know, calling you know, people who are vulnerable in certain situations and depositing cash, but then sending it to the wrong address. That's essentially what's happening. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, obviously as Bitcoin gets bigger and becomes more valuable, like any asset class, you're just going to see a rise in scams.
Preston, can you walk us through some of these scams? What are some common things coming up, and how are Bitcoin ATMs in the midst of these scams?
Well, I think the BTMs are Bitcoin vending machines right now. I mean, the ease of access. I mean, ATMs have had consumer protection for decades, and we're still seeing high levels of scam activity. And BTMs are very new. They're in elementary stages. And even with Bitcoin and crypto, it's still at its new stages. So just imagine the scam activity that's going to go on with these machines at the early stages. Some of the scams could be convenience spreads or transaction spreads. So one Bitcoin could trade at a high level, or, you know, trying to get your Bitcoin out of the machine. And it's kind of like a foreign exchange spread. All right, like just like Western Union, so to speak. I mean, you're getting money out of there. What's that spread? What is it? So that's one example of a scam.
Paul, are these Bitcoin ATMs regulated differently than the bank ATMs that we're so familiar with and have been in place for decades?
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely right. So there's a whole traditional ATMs have been in place forever. They have a separate set of rules. And I think the the Division of Banking rules that have been promulgated by the state of Wisconsin is, I think, trying to put some of the same types of regulations in place that, you know, are traditional ATMs on Bitcoin ATMs. And you see it when you look at the rules. Essentially, what it does is it tries to put more onus on the person or the company who's got the ATM there, right? And so it puts more liability on that person to make sure their customers are not getting scammed. So it's in the infancy stage, I agree. But it's going to be impossible to weed this stuff out permanently, the same way we see, you know, wrench attacks happen at traditional ATMs for decades.
Preston, one of these policies being put into place are daily transaction limits. A BTM operator may not accept or dispense more than $2,000 of cash per day per customer in this state. What What do you make of that particular policy?
I think it's a good policy right now, just like ATMs. I mean, you're trying to protect the consumer against him or herself, number one, and then those that are trying to take money out of their account for cash is concerned. Now, look, cash has some sort has a number. It's number one on stability, right? So there's no volatility. Now, even more so for Bitcoin and other crypto coins, there's a lot of volatility in these areas. So having a protection against or for, you know, having a cap of withdrawing, I think is more so advantageous than so cash, because there's no volatility in cash, but high volatility in coins on a daily basis.
We're talking about these Bitcoin ATMs or BTMs in Wisconsin as new regulations from the State Department of Financial Institutions go into effect on Sunday. And we have Paul Nyland from UW-Whitewater, faculty director of its Blockchain and Cryptocurrency Institute, and Preston Cherry, an assistant professor of finance and personal financial planning at UW-Green Bay. Paul, how can consumers using these Bitcoin ATMs keep themselves safe from fraud? What should they be looking for?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, I think showing up with any amount of cash, I think you have to step back and just say, like, you know, how safe is it to walk around with any amount of cash? And so I think there's just sort of best practices about not carrying around more money than you're willing to lose. You know, does it really make sense to carry around $2,000 or $10,000 of cash at all times? So I think some of the sort of, you know, financial hygiene, if you will, just has to do with kind of best practices you would take even outside of Bitcoin machines. So I think obviously there's lots of other ways, and I think better ways to buy Bitcoin. As I was mentioned earlier, you know, you can buy places with much smaller spreads, far less in fees, smoother transactions through your own bank. So, I mean, this, I think of the Bitcoin, the BTMs as being, you know, an option, but it has all the same sort of risks like normal ATMs would have. You know, it doesn't make sense to have a lot of cash on you at all times. You're really setting yourself up for a lot of physical attention that you probably don't want.
I want to turn our attention now to Congress, which passed the country's first major standalone crypto bill, President Trump signing the Genius Act into law Friday. Preston, in part, regulating a type of cryptocurrency known as stable coins at the federal level. Can you talk about this particular new law and stablecoin and how it's now regulated?
Well, I like this stablecoin being given a little bit more stability, I guess that's a pun, I guess, you know, being, you know, 100% backed by, you know, some treasuries and 100% backed by cash, and not allowing for hopefully some future debacle, like, you know, past, you know, failures of over leveraging some of these coins and over promising some of the delivery of these coins. As we know that some of the altcoins, one or two of them, I mean, it's not a signal for all coins, but, you know, we had some of the large stories that, you know, coins were worthless after being highly levered thousands of percents over and over, and then the coins being worthless. So when you have a promise, quote unquote, of a stable coin, as the word says, then you know, having legislation saying, okay, we have the full faith of the cash or a T-bill, I believe it's a step in the right direction.
Paul, I want to get your take. Is the Genius Act a sea change in the U.S.'s stance towards these digital currencies?
It is an absolute sea change. I think when I look at the entire legislative landscape of crypto and Bitcoin, I think we'll look back probably 10 years from now, and this will be a line in the sand. The reason for this is because if you go back to the prior administration and the SEC, the normal way in which the SEC would regulate cryptocurrency organizations or exchanges is through lawsuits. And so there's dozens, hundreds of stories you can read online where an exchange like Coinbase or Kraken would say, hey, we just want rules in place so we know how Congress or the government expects us to operate with our clients. And for the longest time, the SEC refused to provide any guidance and said they would just sue, they would just outright sue them. So they would sue Kraken and sue Coinbase. And the idea was that they would get rules out of lawsuits. So this is taking a more practical approach, I think, and saying, hey, let's sort of end the position of creating rules by lawsuits. Let's just do it through legislative action. And mm-hmm. so this is the first step. It's on stablecoins. Stablecoins are a staggeringly massive market, not in the US, which people might not realize, but across the world, because people in other countries want to operate on US dollars because their own currencies are devaluing too quick. And so using the US dollar as sort of a medium of exchange in, say, Argentina, there's huge demand for these stablecoins. And so you don't see people in the US using a lot of stablecoins because we just have access to the actual dollars. But in other countries, it's huge. And so I think giving these exchanges that are mostly located in the US clarity on how stablecoins can work abroad, it's going to probably drive the industry up, you know, another 10x or something. It's significant.
Preston, final thoughts, turning to you in Wisconsin here. What are you watching for as cryptocurrency continues to have new policies and regulations here in our state? What are you watching for?
I'd like to hear Paul's thoughts on this, but I find it a little bit comical for, I hope, I don't know if that's a soft word, but you know, we had the decentralized finance, and one of the biggest themes was is that the pushback against traditional finance, and now we're having some reversion back to the mean in both of them, actually. Traditional mm-hmm. finance accepting some decentralized finance, and now decentralized finance being more normalized, quote unquote, by accepting some of the more TradFi ways of governance and the like. So there's a little bit more, it's kind of funny that way, ironically, that both of them now are reverting back to the mean in order to support one another.
Well, Preston Cherry and Paul Nyland, thank you so much. Preston Cherry at UW Green Bay, Paul Nyland at UW Whitewater, as we talk about new policies in Wisconsin for cryptocurrency.